You're listening to audio from Grace Community Church in Anger, North Carolina. More information about Grace Community Church can be found at graceccnc.org.
Thank you, Tristan, Christina, everyone who has served today here, back there. There are so many people serving at Grace that you don't know about every Sunday, and I'm going to be talking about that this morning. But what timing it is for Christina to share about Samaritan's Purse boxes this weekend. My son, Michael, is a pastor at Alliance Bible Fellowship in Boone, and there a lot of the Samaritan's Purse people come there. And it was a year ago, last weekend, that Helene did all its damage. And Michael was preaching last week, and my son-in-law Ben was preaching in Banner Elk at Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Those are two churches that were hit pretty hard with Helene. Now, they didn't get hit as hard in that area as around Asheville, Swannanoa, those places, but still, it was pretty bad. And like I say, a very heavy weekend for both churches. Samaritan's Purse was amazing what they do. But they do that anywhere in the entire world. And if you ever hear about a disaster in the world and you want to know where to send relief funds, do it through Samaritan's Purse. Honest to goodness, they're first on the scene. They're ahead of any government. They're just there immediately. And like Christina said, they stay there. So, and the gospel is very clear. It is an organization, really, I can't think of hardly anything else that does what they do. So these Operation Christmas Child boxes, we ought to have those going in 2 weeks. Really, we need to bring more in. We ought to be packing those and sending the gospel all around the world. Well, have you seen the movie Jesus Revolution? Anybody seen that? It's a really great movie. It's about the Jesus movement in the late 60s and early 70s, which was the last significant revival in our land. I came to faith at the very end of that revival in 1972. And I, along with many other disillusioned people who had lived large with carefree, hedonistic lifestyles, gave their hearts to Jesus, repenting of their sins and putting their trust only in Christ for salvation. And it appears that the Holy Spirit is yet again moving in our land, and another revival is underway, whether you're aware of it or not. It's possible, in fact, that you have come to church for the first time in a long time. I keep hearing that. People are coming for the first time in a long time. And you might not be sure why you're here, but here you are. Well, you are sure. I mean, you're saying something is up and I need to find out what it is. You should know that there's a distinct possibility that the Holy Spirit is leading you to Jesus. Perhaps all your life you've thought, I just need to be good enough to get to heaven. I hope I can be good enough. Maybe in a year or two I'll start on that. Especially when you're young, you don't want to start on that right now. So let's wait a year or two and then I'll get started. I've got good news and bad news. Let's begin with the bad news. You can never be good enough. Never be good enough to stand with favor before a holy, righteous God who created the universe, and who requires perfection of us. The good news is, perfection was met by Jesus. The Bible calls him the second Adam. I won't go into all that details, but just the thumbnail sketch. Adam was on the earth with Eve. When they sinned, the entire human race went down with him. And all people are in Adam's family. But after Jesus, there's another family. It's his. And when we are adopted out of Adam's family into Jesus' family, we belong to God. and we will stand before him perfectly free of any sin, cleansed for all time. And when you call out to the Lord and acknowledge that you are a sinner, and when you ask Jesus to save you by his work on the cross, then you'll become a Christian just like that. When I called out to Jesus somewhere around 9 or 10 p.m. on May 1st of 1972, my life was instantly changed. And I mean instantly changed for the better. It was 2 weeks later, though, when I attended a class on how to share your faith, that I really understood what it was that Jesus did on the cross for me. And because of that, I had a lot of doubts. I mean, I spent many years, 5 years, all the way through Bible college. Like so many of you, I crammed 5 years, 4 years into five. But it was not until after I was out of Bible school that I understood that what he did on that night was salvific. He saved me on May 1st of 1972, even if I didn't understand it all, and I surely understood it then. It was the Holy Spirit, of course, who brought peace to my heart and mind through Scripture. So why am I telling this right at the first? This is the kind of stuff you say at the end of a sermon. Well, because I want you to hear the gospel as clearly as possible when you decide to follow Jesus with all your heart. If you're certain you're supposed to be here, then this message is for you. And I want to encourage you to do two things. Call out to the Lord at any point in this sermon and just say, Jesus, save me. And two, speak with me or the person who brought you or somebody that you've seen on the platform today and say, can you please help me understand what I have just done or what it is that I'm supposed to do? I'll get you connected with someone. This is really important. Don't leave before you talk to someone and let them help you understand what it is that you're doing. And when I say help you understand it, it will be the Holy Spirit opening your eyes to the truth of Scripture, to God's Word. You're in the right place to make this decision, a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. I'm not bragging about Grace Community Church. All Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches will tell you the exact same thing. It is God who led you here this morning, and we are so grateful that you're here. So what comes after a decision to follow Christ? Baptism and connection with a Bible-believing church. The church just happens to be the focus of a series that we're doing here this fall at Grace. See Ricky Lee if you've trusted Christ and you haven't been baptized. That goes for this is your first day and you're wanting to know Jesus, or if you've been here for all your life or most of your life and you've made a decision to follow Christ, but you've never been baptized, see Ricky Lee and he'll talk to you about that. Well, what about the church? Again, it's an autumn series of sermons that focuses on our privileges and responsibilities in this community of faith, God's community of faith, known as the church. Today's message comes from Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. After we read, I'm going to give the context, and then we'll look at another text in Ephesians so that we can understand God's design for the church, which includes every single person, what his design is for all of us who call Grace Community Church home. I will be reading from the English Standard Version. If you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And like so many times when you're preaching topically, most of the time the preaching here is expositorially. And even when we're preaching topically, we try to do justice to the text. But when you're preaching topically, you'll end up starting in the middle of a thought. And so that's where we are today in verse 11. And he gave the apostles, he is Jesus, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you and be seated. Last week's message closed with a call for gratitude to the Lord because He doesn't let us live any way that we want to live. In other words, what we think is freedom to party and carouse is only slavery that will reveal itself to be a harsh taskmaster sooner or later. In the same way that God's design for individuals protects them from the consequences of walking in the flesh, God's design for the church, when followed by His children, will lead us to fulfill our purpose here on earth in here at Grace, which is to exalt the Lord, establish believers, and engage the world with the gospel. The primary focus of today's text is establishing believers, if we're going to look at one of the three parts of our purpose statement. In this series, we're going to talk about the different metaphors that the Bible uses for the church, such as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, a flock, a temple, a holy people, just to name a few. In Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, identifies the church as the body of Christ. And he talks about how important that the entire body works together. In the first half of the book, the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians how blessed they were to be in Christ. He told them, and by extension us, that God chose them to be in His family before the world began, and that we have all been given, those of us who follow Christ, have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who has sealed us, not only sealed us against the day of redemption, but also seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has promised an inheritance to us that will be ours when the Lord returns. This is especially good news for Gentiles, and I'm assuming most of you, if not all of you, are Gentiles. There may be some Jewish followers of Christ in here, but Gentiles were apart from the blessings of God, apart from the family of God. And then Jesus broke down the barriers and brought all in who will trust in Him for salvation. How are we to understand our blessings and responsibilities? Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Household, by the way, the Greek word oikos, the name of our college ministry. You are members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So now we've got a household, a family. We have a temple of God, and we have a dwelling place. All of these are metaphors for the church, for the bride of Christ, for all of us who believe in Jesus. In this text, as in much of Ephesians, Paul is speaking directly about the church. This is the key. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus being the cornerstone. Now in 1 Corinthians 3, the apostle Paul, same person writing, says that no other foundation can no one lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's talking about the gospel in 1 Corinthians 3, which leads to talking about the temple or the church of God. Now he's saying that the foundation for the church, for us, is the teaching of apostles, of the apostles and prophets. And Jesus is the cornerstone of this building. He holds it all together. What he's saying here is that the church is built on the apostolic teaching from the apostles and a few prophets in the first century. They had the legitimate right to speak directly from God, to write the Gospels, the book of Acts, the letters to the churches scattered around the Roman Empire, and Revelation. And when you put all of that together, the writings of the apostles and prophets, we have the New Testament, which along with the Old Testament is the Word of God. This is very basic. I know you understand that. But what a lot of people don't understand is that the apostles and prophets who wrote, spoke, preached, wrote in the first century provided us, by the direction of God and the Holy Spirit, what we know as the Word of God, the Bible. So, everything we need to know from God comes from the Bible. Are there apostles in our day? A lot of people say yes. I would say no. Apostles were specifically called by Jesus. They witnessed his ministry, his resurrected. They saw the resurrected Jesus. Paul didn't watch his ministry. He may have watched it from afar. But Paul saw the resurrected Jesus. The Lord gave miraculous signs to authenticate their authority. Through the centuries, the church has affirmed that all the truth we need from God is contained in Scripture. It's true that the Holy Spirit leads us, but it's always in accordance with God's Word. There is nothing new that God has to tell us through another individual. Everything he needs to say, he's already said in his Word. Maybe you have or have not heard of the New Apostolic Reformation, in which God is giving new information to the church through new apostles and prophets. We at Grace reject that movement. Justin Holcomb describes our position succinctly, and I know that you'd have to spend a lot of time explaining this, and we can do that. Any of the elders, any of the home group leaders might say, talk to the elders. Elders might say, talk to the home group leaders, you know. Or there are plenty of people in here who can talk with you about that. But Holcomb says it very well. The New Apostolic Reformation is a movement that promises power, healing, and dominion. This is the idea that we're going to have to rule over the nations. First our nation and then the world. We need to do it by electing the right people, or if by force, if necessary. Some people believe that. We need to take control of the world and make it, remember that we're going back to post-millennialism, make it acceptable for the Lord to return. So it promises power, healing, and dominion, but ultimately leads people away from the sufficiency of the Scriptures and the centrality of Christ. Apostolic authority today is not found in self-appointed prophets, but in the Word of God. And while the New Apostolic Reformation may claim new revelation and angelic encounters, the gospel tells us that God has already spoken fully and finally in his Son. Now, how do we mistakenly think that God is speaking afresh and anew to us in this day by saying, God told me so. But the scripture, God told me. At a certain point, you can't go any further, right? My pastor in the mountains used to talk about an encounter with a lady who said, yeah, my mama always said. And he said, but ma'am, the scripture says. And she said, yeah, but I've just always believed. And he said, but the Bible says. And she said, yeah, but it's my grandmother, my mother, we all just believe. And he said, the Bible says. And she said, I don't care what the Bible says. That's a problem, right? If God has something to say to us, he'll say it first right here. Now, we're going to receive, I might apply a text differently than you do in the Holy Spirit. That's all legitimate. But anytime somebody says, the Lord has told me such and such, and if it doesn't accord with Scripture, you got to say, let's think about that a little bit. Apostolic teaching from the first century is the basis, it's the foundation for the church. If you're a little confused at this point, hopefully the foundation of Scripture will help. What we just talked about will help Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 make a little more sense. Chapter 4 begins with a call for unity in the church and a description of the unity that is already ours. It continues by affirming the victory that Christ won by coming to earth to die for our sins, buried, resurrected, ascended back to heavens. In Ephesians 4:11, we get the sense, we're told that Jesus will continue his work on earth first. Well, he'll continue it through the church. Not through new apostles and prophets, but through the apostolic teaching established in the first century. The offices of apostle and prophet ended with the completion of the New Testament. The other three gifts, probably only two gifts here, evangelist, or those who are proficient with preaching and teaching the gospel, and then shepherd teachers or pastor teachers. Are described here. The way that the Greek is written indicates that the last two gifts are one, shepherds and pastors. In the Greek, there's only an article for the first, not for the second, and so they're probably combined. The leaders with teaching gifts are appointed to preach, serve, visit, maintain the building, along with a lot of other duties, right? No. The pastor teachers are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But even this is more for spiritual maturity than it is for the meeting of personal needs. The personal needs being cared for is an overflow of our understanding of Scripture. It's an outworking. We read the Word and our hearts are to serve others. Not only do we see the examples and the commands in Scripture, but our hearts very much want to take care of our brothers and sisters in Christ. The goal is nothing less than the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ for us all. Does this mean that when people look at us individually, we want them to see Jesus, or that when people look at our church, we want them to see Jesus? That's an easy answer, right? Yes. The goal is for us to be stable theologically. We don't want to be tossed around by every new doctrine that is cleverly presented, such as the new apostolic reformation. Which is why there is such a heavy emphasis on teaching at Grace, and it has been for all 31 years of our existence. Think of the ministries here that need teachers, home groups, all next generation ministries, children, students, college, post-grad schools, and then marriage ministries, men's ministry, women's ministries, creative arts, there's a lot of teaching in that, and discipleship ministries. If you are a teacher or aspire to be one, there's still time to sign up for the teaching seminar this coming Saturday, led by Mike Rader, who trains preachers all over the world. And we have him here in Harney County, North Carolina, next Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Go online. You can sign up. All through the New Testament, great responsibility and accountability is placed on leaders who teach or preach the gospel, which is why most teaching positions here at Grace require attendance for a year. You don't have to be a member for a year, but you need to be here for a year. It's important for our teachers to understand the way that we handle what we consider to be open-handed doctrines. We say it often, but if you're new, close-fisted doctrines, the Trinity, salvation by grace through faith, open-handed doctrines, spiritual gifts, other types of things that Christians agree on and disagree on, but still agree on the important stuff. How do we handle those? Well, if you're here for a year, you'll get a better sense of it. And by the way, let me just say this too. If you've come in and you like most everything you hear and see at Grace, but then I or someone else who is in the pulpit says something and you're like, wait a minute, never heard that. I don't agree with that. Just hang in there for a little time. I promise you it's one of these. It's not one of these. Hang in there for a while, and after 6 months to a year, even if you can't say that you fully agree, you'll at least say, okay, I think I understand that now. I see where that is coming from. So, with that responsibility, we need to all be growing together in our understanding of Scripture. The one area of teaching where we make an exception to this rule is in children's ministry, where you need to attend for 6 months and need to be a member. And that's not just because we're desperate for children's workers. That's true in every single church. We're very careful about screening who is going to be with our children, and we've got all sorts of safeguards in place. But since there is a curriculum, and especially for those that have a heart for children's ministry, we can get started teaching there a little bit sooner. And if you have a heart for children's ministry, we need you. I don't think there's ever been a day in my 27 years here, I've been here for all but four of the years, that we didn't need children's workers. So if most ministries, teaching ministries, require a year's attendance, then what is there to do while you wait? Plenty. We need people on the greeting team and on the buddy team, which provides meals for people who have experienced a loss or something really great in their life, like a birth. Another team involving food is events teams. We like to eat here at Grace. We like to eat a lot. And you would not believe how many meals there are every year in this room and in the other classrooms in the back throughout our time in through the year. I've already said that. So this is an area where we have real need. In fact, yesterday, my understanding is I wasn't here for the toiletry pantry, but I think we served 197 families. Is that right? And then all the workers who served were fed after they served. So that was one person who took it on himself to make sure that food was provided. But we have a lot of events where we need people. This is a place you can jump in quickly, and it would be a great help to us. Do you have AV or other technical skills? Do you play an instrument that would be a blessing to our congregation on the worship team? Has the Lord given you the gift of carrying a tune or singing in harmony? If he hasn't, sing with all your might out there. But don't apply for this one up here, okay? And when we're singing with all our might, don't you know that's pleasing to the Lord? But there are examples in the Old Testament where he chooses those who are skilled to lead the congregation in worship. And like I've said recently, I'm sure you're going to have the best voices and abilities in heaven when we're praising the Lord together. So for all the above, connect with Tristan, who can provide an application for our creative arts team. And you're thinking, really? An application? Yes, we're serious about our task, our ministry. And it will be a blessing to you, not a burden, I promise you. Service in almost all ministries at Grace require membership, and it requires membership. Why? Because everyone who serves represents not only Grace Community Church, but our Savior. For those of you who are gifted to teach, a year goes by in a flash. There are several places you can serve just as soon as you become a member. If you're thinking that this is the place the Lord is leading you to call home and you're not yet a member, may I please encourage you, on the last Sunday of this month, 3 weeks, October 26th, we're going to have a discovery lunch here at the church after the second service in this room. You'll be able to meet with elders and staff members, maybe some home group leaders here or there, just to get to know us and we get to know you in a very casual, informal kind of a setting. But then also sign up for the Grace Connection Weekender, which is our membership class. It's going to be held November 14, 16. We do it two different ways, 5 Sundays in a row, or a weekender where we have a meal and another and a session on Friday night. We have 3 sessions Saturday morning and 1 session on Sunday morning. And any of these that you have to miss, you can make up at another time. We'll get it worked out. So, let's see. We've got the discovery lunch coming up, and then we've got the meal on Friday night. That would be a great place for the events team to get involved with that. Seems like a good opportunity. There are lots of opportunities here. How important is it to serve in the church? In Ephesians 4, 15 to 16, the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to say, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. That's the goal. We're all becoming more like Jesus. We're growing up in Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I hadn't really thought about this before, but you know how the best way to love yourself is to love others? All we hear about in our day is self-care. Self-care. That wasn't in Jesus' discipleship plan. It was a cross. It was serving others. Yes, we can overdo it. And yes, you need to be careful about burnout. We'll talk about this all along the way. But when we serve one another, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The body is joined and held together by every part of our body and every joint. That means every member at Grace needs to be doing what it was made to do, or else we're walking with a limp. But so many people are serving well. Yes, but every single person has been given a role by the Lord. And the reward of one is the reward of all. When we're all serving. How are we doing here at Grace? We're doing quite well on our percentages. And yet we still have needs. That's always going to be true in a growing church. It's true in a church that is not growing. Most churches would be thrilled to have the percentage of members who are serving here at Grace. Some of you want to serve in almost everything, in multiple ministries, but it's our recommendation that you not serve in more than 2 primary ministries. Some ministries, like the greeting ministry, you could tack on because really all it involves is doing what we all ought to be doing on Sunday morning anyway, but you're doing it in a guided and a directed way. You're the first point of contact for people that walk in the church, and they want to know about children's ministry and about how the service is going to go and what to expect. You're the one that gets to share those things with them. I know that some of you have come to Grace needing to rest physically, emotionally, spiritually. We're so glad you're here. And please take your time that you need to heal from whatever that you've been going through. And that might be some of you who have been here for 10, 15, 20 years. You may have hit a place of burnout or just some major situations going in your life, and you need to back away a little bit. That's okay. If God's design is correct, we'll be able to take care of those places. But God's design is ultimately for every single one of us to find our place and do what we are gifted to do. College and grad students, please know, if you're here for 4 years, 2 years, 6, 7 years, and you're here, you've got a responsibility. So many times I hear from people who say, after they've been here 6 months, never seen a church quite like this, and how long have you been here? 6 months. Well, you're part of the reason. We're all part of the reason that Grace is the way it is, for good or ill. Spiritual gifts are given to each of us who belong to Jesus, and they're given for the use and the good of the body. They're intended to be used in the service of the body, not for helping us feel good about ourselves, not affirming anything about us that makes us okay. You know how to be okay? Give yourself to others. If you're ready to serve, you can get connected in two ways. Go to Connect on our website and drop down on the menu to serve with us. You'll find 15 ministries of our church listed there, each with a contact link. Not everything is is listed there, such as our security team. We don't talk about that a whole lot, but we need people in the security team. I think you know what kind of times we're living in, and we need extra people who are willing to serve there. And then I won't talk about this again for a long, long time, all right? But connect with Josh Tate on that. He's also at the medical team link. You can get to him there. We have needs in several areas, many of which I've emphasized today. Another way to get connected is to email Julia Stevens. She's the one that told me to do that. I'm not putting this on her. And tell her what you're interested in. And if you're interested in several ministries, she'll be able to direct you to the ministries most in need of service and servers. I would rarely take as much time to talk about specific ministries, ministry opportunities, and needs at Grace as I have done today. But the text allows us to do this as an application. Ultimately, God's design for the church is to produce mature believers who are grounded in the Word and who are serving one another well in the ways that God has gifted them to serve. So here's a question, and it's really a legitimate question. Is church that important? It's the conduit through which the gospel is shared with the world. Can individuals share the love of Jesus on their own? Yes, and we should. But God's design is for the efforts of individuals to be multiplied many times over in the local body of Christ. Wasn't Paul talking about the universal church? It all applies, but he was talking to the church at Ephesus, where he spent 3 years of his life ministering amongst those folks. Jesus is the head. We are the body. Well, this morning, we gather at the Lord's table to remember why We give up so much to serve the Lord. If Jesus died that we might have eternal life, the least we can do is serve. I've heard it many times from Allison's testimony. She was at and we're going to talk about invitations, by the way, down the road. But the Lord has used invitations in many churches in a lot of ways. But she was in the middle of a long row at a church. I believe she was 11 years old, not a church, but it was someplace where there was a revival going on. Again, the sort of the leftovers of the Jesus movement in Australia. And they were given an invitation, and she thought, she looked up both ends of the row, and, you know, they said, she thought, it's just be too embarrassing to walk all over all these people. And he said, now, if you're thinking about not coming up because it's too hard, just think about Jesus going to the cross for you. That's either cliche or it is incredibly powerful. Think about what Jesus did for us. Perfect fellowship. You know what that's like? Perfect fellowship with the Father and the Spirit always. Always. And he left all of that to come here. Become one of us. Live a perfect life. Thus becoming an eligible sacrifice and substitute for our sins, and also the head of another family. Because we're doomed in Adam's family. But when Jesus died for us, taking the Father's wrath, God pouring out his wrath on Jesus that should have gone to us. Well, when he said, it is finished, he meant it's done. The sacrifice is complete. I've paid for the sins of sinners. And when we trust him, we are his.
Thank you for listening to audio from Grace Community Church, located in North Carolina. Feel free to make copies of this audio content to share with others. But please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Grace Community Church, go to graceccnc.org.